Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Y'all ready for the word? No, you're not. You ready for the word? No, you're not. You ready for the word? Did you come here to play and look at me and play church games, or did you come here to receive the word of God? Did you come here to play church games and sit here and look cute, or did you come here to meet with God? I don't know about you, but when I come to church, I come to handle business, to meet with a holy, living God. I don't come to church to just sit around and play little cute church games and look cute in my little church outfit. I come to meet with a living God. And you need to know something about me. When God taps my shoulder, when they allow me to get on this platform, I'm handling my Father's business. I ain't playing no games with you. So you can look at me funky all you want to, but I've been in that word. I've been cooking it up for you. You better eat this thing. You better eat it. All them complaints you've been complaining about, if you eat this word, we're going to talk about it today. If you eat this word, you're going to run out of things to complain about. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day that you've given to us, God, to not sit in your church and try to look cute, but to drop our pride and to worship you, God. Because it's you who made us, not we ourselves, God. Who are we to be smug in your presence, God? I thank you, Father God, that all our titles, all of our accolades, all of our accomplishments are nothing but dirt in your presence. And we turn to you, God, with all of our heart, soul, and mind, Father God. And we say, without you, we're nothing. You are the breath that we breathe, Lord God. You are the reason that we can think, can process. You're the reason we can talk, we can walk. You're everything to me, God. Lord, and I thank you, Father God, because I know what I was without you. A hot mess. And I thank you, Father God, that you turn a message out of a mess. And Lord God, we give you all the praise in this house. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, the church says together, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise in this house. I don't need that. I already got one. Thank you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Greet somebody standing next to you. Give them a high five and then sit down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I didn't come here to waste your time, so don't waste my time. Receive this word. I say something that's true, you agree with it. You say amen. That means so be it. Amen? Been cooking all week. So you better eat it. You when somebody comes over your house, you've been cooking a good meal for them, and they sit there and say, nah, I'm already full. I already ate. I went to McDonald's. That is the most disrespectful. You sitting there, fool, get out of my house. Go on somewhere else. Cooked all this good food for your rump. You're going to sit here and say, I already ate at McDonald's on my way in. When you come to church, you come to church ready to receive. The Bible, Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Problem is, some of us are full of the wrong stuff. We have no room to receive. God wants to give. God is a giver. He wants to implant and impart into your life today. And if you just be open to receive from him, you will. Amen. 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 We're going to get straight into the Bible today. Turn to Luke chapter 14, verse number 15. Luke chapter 14, verse number 15. Luke chapter 14, verse number 15. Jesus was invited to the house of a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a religious snob of his day. And although they were well-versed in the law and they were well-versed in the traditions of men, they missed and they neglected the gift, the free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, because they could not see past their puffed up knowledge that they had. And we have to be careful of this, because if we're not careful, especially as lifelong Christians, some of us, we were born and raised in the church. And if we're not careful, we can miss the power right in front of us because of what we think we know. What you think you know is really, it's you're only on the seashore of God's ocean. You haven't even really got into the water yet, and I don't care how long you've been serving God, because God is so much, there's so much deeper that you can go. But oftentimes what happens with us who think we know something, and that's the spirit that I get sometimes when we minister, and I'm sure Pastor Shorter gets it, is I've already heard that. But the revelation comes in the receiving of God's word, because his manna is fresh. It's brand new every day. Even though you may have heard it before, it can minister to you in a fresh and a new way. And this is the way God operates according to his sovereign, his amazing, majestic, marvelous, wonderful, hard to understand ways that are far superior above our ways, is that we can read the same scripture that we've read every day for the last 30 years. And God can be able to reveal through that same scripture, he can be able to reveal to us something brand new and powerful and life changing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, you finish the rest, but have everlasting life. We read that, we quote it, we know it, we say, you know what? That's kind of elementary, that type of stuff is entry level information, but if we really allow the word of God to be fresh to us every time we open our Bible, every time we come to church with a fresh mindset, with a fresh attitude, with an open heart to receive from the Lord, then God can deposit a fresh wind, a fresh word, and a fresh new revelation in your life. And he can transform you even with a word that you've already heard. So the Pharisees screwed up themselves because they were so reliant upon the Old Testament and the Old Covenant and the old ways of doing things, their traditions, the traditions of men, that the word that was literally standing in front of them had no effect on them. The salvation that was present to be able to heal them, set them free, deliver them, that was literally personified in the personhood of Jesus Christ, was standing right in front of them, but they stayed the same because of what they thought they knew. And many of us in the body of Christ, we are staying the same because what we think we know. And we have an attitude where that we think that we have arrived at some type of level. I'm gonna tell you right now, I ain't arrived nowhere. I have not figured God out. Some of y'all think you figured God out. I've figured it out. We have not. And so we have to remain pliable. We have to remain people who can be molded by the Lord, who can be able to operate in a way that where we just go ahead and we follow God, follow the leading of his spirit, and that we are receiving what we are hearing through the minister of the gospel. Amen. So Luke chapter 14, verse number 15, Jesus is at this Pharisee's house. And now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread, underline bread, in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, say come, for all things are now ready. He sent his servants at supper time. He sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Come, for all things are now ready. Write this down. Write this down. It's already ready. It's already ready. Everything that you need, every prayer that you've prayed, every supply that you are waiting for, it's already ready. Every desire that you have of God, it's already ready. When we have this kind of mindset, it encourages us and strengthens our faith. to realize it's not a matter of God having to produce something, because it's already, say that with me, ready. It's already what, church? Turn to somebody, pick a neighbor that you want to talk to, and say, it's already ready. It's already ready. God is already, he's already finished cooking up what you need for the rest of your life. You can rest in that fact. You can relax. You can chill out. You can cool. You can lower your shoulders, because he's already prepared and perfected everything that you will ever need. Here's the thing about something being ready, though, is that when it's ready, it's not going to stay ready forever. I like to buy things on Amazon. Anybody, any Amazon people in the house? Praise God, Amazon. So you're the reason why Macy's is closing down and all these stores. Y'all don't even care. Not her store. Amen. Not that store. But we use you know, Amazon to purchase things. And I like to use the locker because, you know, you don't have to worry about somebody walking by and seeing your package on the front door. But the thing about using the Amazon locker is you got 3 days to pick up that package. And if you don't pick up that package within the allotted time, that package is going right back to the warehouse. Can I get an amen? Amen. And that package is there for that three-day window, and they'll send you a message to remind you, hey, your package is waiting for you. Hey, it's been 2 days. You got one more day. But that package is ready, but it ain't gonna be ready forever. God is ready for you to lean into him, but this window won't last forever. You right now, some of y'all right now, you're kind of on the fence. You're kind of on the fence with even really jumping into the church and getting involved. Guess what? This window, it's not going to last forever. There's going to come a time where you're going to be standing before a holy God. I mean, like face to face before him. And he's going to say, I was ready to do some amazing, miraculous things through you. I was ready to use you. I was ready to send you around the world. I was ready to use you and use the giftings that I placed inside of you to bless millions. I was ready, but you left the package sitting in the locker. And you missed the opportunity. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before God and him tell me that you missed the opportunity, the only one that you had, to partner with me on earth, to be able to build and be a part of building something great for my kingdom. Say he's ready. Say he's ready. The question is, are you ready? Because God is ready. He's ready and he's waiting for you. Let's go back to our scripture here. Verse number 17, once again, it says, and he sent his servant at supper time. At what time? At supper time, he sent his servants at what time? At a specific time, he sent his servants. He sent his servants at supper time. And right now, his servants all across the globe, especially on a Sunday morning, they're proclaiming, it's supper time. It's time to eat. You have a servant right now over here at 3211 112th Street East, Tacoma, Washington, 98446, that I'm standing here and I'm proclaiming to you watching on live stream, to everyone in the building, it's supper time. God has a spread for you. It's time to come and to eat, come and to dine, come and to sit around this table. It is supper time. But supper time don't last forever. It's supper time now, but supper time will end. And he sent his servants during supper time. That's why us as the servants of the Lord, each and every one of you, as a servant of God called to do the ministry work of the gospel in whatever facet and way that you do it, you better take advantage and redeem the time that you have, because guess what? That time is running out. Stop wasting your time. The time that God has given you to bring glory to his name. Don't waste your time with relationships that God didn't establish. Don't waste your time with people who ain't trying to get on with God and serve him in the same way that you're trying to serve him. Don't waste your time with the things of this world that will distract you until you die. Don't waste your time, because this time is important that we have on this earth. And he says, verse number 17, it says, his servants at supper time, he told them to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Verse number 18, then they all with one accord, they were on one accord, they all with one accord began to make excuses. Oh, I can't go to church on Sunday because, you know, the game is on. Oh, I can't go to church because, you know, I got to clean up my house. Now, your house been dirty. It's been a mess all week. Then all of a sudden on Sunday morning at 10:30, you got to start cleaning your house. All with one accord, they begin to make excuses. The first said to him, look at your Bible, verse 18. I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I am going to test them. I need to go test drive that new Camaro, that new Ferrari. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. Still another said to him, I have married a wife, oh boy, and therefore I cannot come. You see, we have to learn how to prioritize God's table over everything else in our life. I'll say it again. We have to learn to prioritize God's table. God's table. The table represents the place where you eat. What is God's table to you? We have to prioritize God's table. When I'm saying to his table, I'm talking about the places where you eat from God. I'm talking about God's church, God's assembling, the assembling of the believers. We have to prioritize God's table, our reading of the word outside of church. Some of y'all, the only time you open your Bible is on Sunday morning when the preacher is leading you to read a scripture for 35 minutes. You cannot receive enough. There's not enough time in 35 minutes, 40 minutes for you to get everything you need for your entire life. Even though coming to church is important, you got to take what you have heard, what you've received, go home and study it out. When I'm preaching the word of God, don't just take my word for it. Go home and study it out. Why? Because when you do that, God will meet you in that secret place, and he'll begin to reveal to you more and more, and it'll compound on what you've already heard. And guess what? It gets reinforced in your heart and in your mind what you've heard and the word of God and the truth that you've heard, and you begin to truly eat and feast on God's word. And so the table must be prioritized. Write that down if you haven't already. We have to prioritize God's table more than anything else. Write that down. We have to prioritize God's table more than anything else in our life, because this world, there's a lot of things that want to pull you away from the table of the Lord. There's a lot of things that are trying to pull you away from God's table. But everything you need for life is at his table. Everything you need to sustain life, eating food at its core, the reason why we eat is not so that we can taste good things, it's so that we can stay alive, so that we can have strength. And whatever you're eating is dictating what kind of strength and what kind of health you have. And the truth is that if we're eating at the wrong tables, if we're sitting at the wrong tables, then we're going to have sickness, we're going to have disease, we're going to have malnutrition, we're going to have, if all we're eating is Twinkies and Ding Dongs and McDonald's and rice cakes and just junk all day, then guess what? We're going to start to have some health problems. This is in the physical. Now in the spiritual, if all you're eating is CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and all you're eating is the conditions of the day and the social media, the Facebook feed, the feed, notice it's called the feed because it's feeding you. If you are eating the Instagram feed and the TikTok feed and if that's all you're feeding on and eating, guess what? You're going to have some severe malnutrition. And this is the problem with the body of Christ. It's malnutrition. Remember, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, unless you do that, you have no part in me. You're not a part, you're not one of mine if you're not drinking my blood and eating my flesh. We're going to be doing that tonight for communion. We're going to be drinking the juice, which represents the blood. And we're going to be eating the bread, which represents the flesh. The blood brings salvation. Listen to me. The blood brings salvation. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But watch this. The bread brings restoration and transformation. Think about it. The bread that we eat is a daily bread. The bread is what transforms us. Because we're eating it, and whatever you eat, you will become. You are what you eat. When Jesus gave himself on that cross, he didn't just give his blood up. He gave himself as the bread of life. Where that his life will become our life. It was an exchange of the bread that we had already lived on, the bread of this world, the nasty, mildew, gross, expired bread of this world in exchange for the bread that brings life. He said, I am the bread of life. He is the life that we look at and that we model and that we read about and that we meditate on and that we process in through his word, which is the bread of life, which is him. We are consuming and eating and being transformed and changed into a better version of the church. So it's at his table that we eat. Anybody hungry in this place? I don't know about you, but I get hungry after church. I get hungry after church. And I think it's God's way of reminding us of what church really is that we are eating spiritually. And then after church, we eat physically. We eat physical food. But when we're receiving the word of God, we're receiving spiritual food. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Turn to your neighbor and say, whose table have you been sitting at? Some of y'all been sitting at the devil's table for a long time. Oh yeah, you come to church, you come and visit God, you come in and say hi to Jesus on Sunday, but you sit at the devil's table. You live at the devil's table. You're comfortable at the devil's table. You feel at home at the devil's table. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. The devil's table is more of a home to you than even the church. And you're at the devil's table all week long, eating what the trash, the crap that he's been giving you. You're on the phone with your best friends, and some of your best friends are the worst friends for you. And as you're talking and gossiping and talking all that bull crap, you're eating at the devil's table. Oh, you don't like me now, huh? I don't care, because your real preacher's gonna be back next Sunday. And you can send your complaints to his email. He said you can close it. We have to recognize what table we're sitting at. We have to recognize if the word of God is offensive to you, if the things that we preach from the pulpit rub you the wrong way, then you've been sitting at the devil's table. You're living off of garbage. Because when you receive the real thing, it's foreign to you. It's upsetting to your stomach. It doesn't sit well with you because you're not used to it. You ain't been eating this stuff. So the Bible says, I'm going to read it one more time. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 10:21, you put it on the screen if you have it. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. You cannot. You cannot. It is impossible. Some of you gave your life to Christ. You were going strong with the Lord for a while, and then you went right back to that same table. And then you think you're going to just pull right up to God's table once again, and everything's just going to be the same. It's not. It didn't work that way. You can't have both. You cannot have both. God says, Jesus said, you're either hot or you're cold. You cannot have both. You cannot have both. You can't have both. You have to make a decision. This is mutually exclusive. You have to choose. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ, and nothing else in this world is going to satisfy me. You have to make a decision, people. You have to make a choice. As hard as it may be, as much as your family may feel ostracized or disrespected or whatever, or you may have to cut ties with certain people, you're gonna have to make a choice. This is the call of the Christian. It's to come out from among them. And some of y'all ain't ready for this. And I understand. Not everyone is gonna make it into the kingdom. There's going to be people who are going to say, Lord, Lord, I went to PCC. Lord, Lord, I showed my face. I even sung in the choir. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You never came and sat at my table. You came to visit the house, but you didn't eat what I prepared for you. You have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your popularity. It's going to cost you your followers. It's going to cost you your friendships. It's going to cost you your status. It's going to cost you. Oh, I came up here to give you good news. Yes, I did. Because the good news is that none of that stuff compares to the glory that is found in Jesus Christ and in his kingdom. This whole world be damned. I don't need none of it because I have the Lord. So, you have a choice to make. God is crying out. He's calling out. Come to my table. Come and eat what I'm preparing. He's calling out to Christians. Come back to my table. Come back to my table. Come back to where I am the only one supplying your needs and keeping you fed. Keeping you alive. Write this down. The redemption is in the blood, but the blessing is in the bread. The redemption is in the blood, but the blessing is in the bread. What do I mean by that? I mean that the blessing, you can be saved, but still living far below what God intends for you. You can be saved and still malnutrition spiritually. You can be on your way to heaven, but still carnal in your thinking. You can be saved, but still fearful. You can be saved and still anxiety ridden. You can be saved and still confused. How do I know this? I've been there. You can be saved and still mediocre. Because the blessing is in the eating of the bread. The blessing is in the consuming of the bread. The bread of life. John chapter 6, verse number 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Literally, I'm the one who produces life inside of you. And if you're living on any other opinion, any other philosophy, any other theory other than what is found in the Word of God, then guess what? You are not living, you are not experiencing the blessing of true life, the life that I bring. I said that some of us have been sitting at the table of the devil. Some people have been sitting at the table of popular opinion or of the way that society kind of shaped you and molded you. You've been sitting at the table of your culture, and everything you do is for the culture. I'm going to do it for the culture. I'm going to live for the culture. I'm going to acquiesce to the culture. However the culture dresses, I'm going to dress. However the culture talks, I'm going to talk. However the culture acts, I'm going to act. Let me tell you something very important. The culture is confused and lost and dying and hurting. And they're hungry and they need the bread just like the rest of us. The only one that's giving life is Jesus Christ. The only one that's raising up the dead is Jesus Christ. The only one, when you're in that hospital room, the only one in there with you that can be able to give you healing and restoration is Jesus Christ. Nobody else. You're not calling your favorite rapper. You're not calling on a politician. The only one you can call when everyone else has abandoned you is Jesus Christ. He alone is life. He alone holds the key to life. It's only through him. And as a church, we want to be like the world. We want to be prestigious. And when we want to check off all the boxes and be somebody and accomplish this and accomplish that, that's fine. But the only accomplishment that really matters is the fact that every day I can eat and feast and be sustained and live off of the true bread of life. That's what matters. Because if everything else fails, I still have the bread of life. I still have a life and it more abundantly. And that's all we need. That's all that matters. Yeah, we say amen to that, but if we really thought that way, if we really believed that and lived like that, people would be following us to church. They'd be asking, what in the world? What is it? What? Show me. The bread of life. The bread of life. And so we eat. Say, we eat. Say, you better eat. Turn to somebody. Say, you better eat. Say, I'm going to turn to somebody else, your second choice, the person you just ignored. Say, I'm going to eat. Say, I'm going to eat. Say, if you don't eat, I'm going to eat. We eat the bread every day, every morning. You wake up, the first thing you do before you get on your phone, the first thing you do before you go digital, you go vertical, you talk to your Lord and you thank him for the fact that you just woke up just now. Because there's some people that can't say that. You wake up in that morning, you say, Lord, thank you for another day. You go get your Bible out the trunk of the car where you've been leaving it at. And you bring it up to the upper room, to the place where you sleep at, and you open it up. And you pray and you ask God to lead you. If you ain't got nothing else, you just go over the scriptures that you heard at church. And you say, Holy Spirit, direct me, reveal to me what I need to eat today. Before I go downstairs and get my Raisin Bran, before I go and eat my oatmeal, I'm gonna consume the bread the only bread that brings life, real life. We live on the bread. And as we receive the bread of God transforms us. So the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the bread. You haven't figured out by now, I'm talking about the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the bread. Faith comes from eating, and eating the bread. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 6:16. Tells us above all, say above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of what, church? The shield of what? The shield of what? Faith comes through what? And hearing by the what? Faith comes from what? And hearing by the what? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The shield of faith is our protector. So I would submit to you for your consideration on this Sunday morning, on the 6th of April, 2025, that if we have received and if we hear and if we consume and if we eat and if we digest the word of God, we have the bread of God inside of us, which is a shield of faith that protects us. So no matter what comes to us, we have a shield on the inside that protects our heart, protects our soul, and protects our mind. I got a shield that you cannot see called faith. Why? Because of the word of God. The shield of faith, above all else, if you don't do nothing else, make sure that you are equipped with a shield that protects your inner man. I'm protected. Can't always control what comes to you. But you can always control through the word of God what comes through you. There's a difference between to you and through you, between what happens to you and what comes out of you. And we have to realize that God has equipped us not to be able to control everything and everyone around us, but he's equipped us to be able to stand strong in the midst of every storm and every lie and every attack, every dart of the enemy. How do we do that? We use the shield of faith, which is the invisible shield of faith that is produced inside of our heart through the receiving of the word of God. When you feast on God, when you eat and live on his word, you have strength on the inside of you that nothing in this world can stand against. Say this with me. Say, I have a shield over my heart. Say, I have a shield over my mind. Say, I have a shield in front of my soul. Say, I have a shield protecting me. Say nothing. Say it a little louder. Say nothing. Say nothing. Say nothing. Say it until you believe it. Say nothing. Say nothing that comes my way will rock me. Say nothing that comes my way will discourage me. Say nothing that comes my way will stop me. Say I'm victorious because I'm protected. I have a shield in Jesus' name. Give God praise. Give God praise. Give God praise. The bread is what we need. I said give God praise. What's wrong with you? Give God praise. Come on, church, stand on your feet. Give God praise. Look at me looking all stupid. Get on your feet and give God praise in this house. Who are you? Give God praise. Your butt should be dead if it had not been for him. Give God praise. Don't ever come to his house and disrespect him. When the preacher says to praise the Lord, you praise the Lord. I'd slap you with this Bible. When the preacher says to praise the Lord, you praise the Lord. A prideful thing. My Lord is worthy of all of my praise. Don't nobody need to beg me. I can't wait to go to heaven because I ain't got to deal with y'all. But the other thing about it is when it's not going to take nothing for us to drop on our face and praise our God. It's not going to take nothing because we're going to have a full revelation, you see. Right now, we're so clouded with the things that we care about, and you worried about what you got going on at work tomorrow, and you worried about how you look, and you worried about what your neighbor think, and you worried about all this crap that don't matter. Who you think you are? We praise God. We live our life as a sacrifice to Him. He's worthy of it all. I said, He's worthy of it all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. His bread is all you need. I said, His bread is all you need. You don't need them friendships. You don't need that money. That money is going to burn up just like the rest of this earth. You need the bread of the living God. That's what you live by. That's what we live by. God, we live off of you. We live off of your word. Your word is our life. It is the reflection. It is the essence. It is the foundation. It is the building. It is the roof. It is the covering. It is the banner. Every part of us is because of your word. This world is hungry, it's desperate, it's dying because it's neglected His word. Your friends hate God because the world, the enemy, has told them to neglect His word. We have to elevate God's word. His word is the final authority. And guess what? Romans 10, 17, I'm gonna just stay on your feet. We done. Romans 10, 17, one more time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the shield that is called faith that you need for your life comes from hearing. Hearing. It doesn't say reading. Doesn't say reading. It says hearing. From that dude up on that stage with that curly hair that you mad at. God gave it to him to give to you. Why? Because you have to humble yourself to receive from a man what you need for your life. Yeah, you, as successful, as cool as you think you are, you need what the man of God, with the man of God, with the woman of God have. You need what God puts in them to receive, to change and transform your life. This is why the devil don't want people coming to church. This is why the enemy don't want you coming to church. This is why you're at home and not in the building right now, because the enemy has lied to you and told you it don't really matter to be in God's house. It's not that big of a deal. It's just like going to the movies. He's a liar, and his breath stank, and he's stupid, and he's an idiot. And we have to understand that it's only through the word of God that we live and move and have our being. We have life through His word. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm done talking. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your people, God. I pray that you just minister to us, God, as we leave from this place, God. Help us to elevate your word in every part of our life, God. Bring to remembrance through the Holy Spirit the things that we have heard that we've neglected or that we've set aside in our life, and help us to start applying the word of God to our life. Because it's the word that changes us. Lord, we live off of your bread. We live off the bread of Jesus Christ, the bread that brings life. God, I thank you, Father God, that you didn't throw up your hands with me when I neglected to come and sit at your table, God. Lord, I thank you that you didn't throw it all away, everything that you have for me, God. And Lord, I know that for those in this place or watching on live stream, God, the spread is still ready. It's still prepared for them. How do I know that? They're still breathing. God, you're not going to throw it away. You're not going to get rid of it. God, it's still sitting there waiting for them to come to your table. God, I pray for those who have been walking by your table, who have been making excuses to not come and to sit at your table. God, I pray for them to start to run to your table, Lord God. Lord, I pray as we approach the Holy Week, God, that the people who have been ignoring the invitation to come and to sit at your table and to eat off of you and to live off of you, God, I pray that they will drop their pride and they will come running to your table, Lord God. Lord, I pray for your church, for us who have been in church for a long time, where it's become just a tradition, where it's become just a thing we do. God, I pray that you will stir us up, ignite a fire in our heart, a hunger and a thirst once again, to realize that we ain't nobody without you. And that we need to sit at your table and to eat once again. Not just sit there and look cute, but to partake and to receive and to distribute and to give to those that need and to compel those to come and join us, God. Give us a heart to want to do your ministry. Give us a heart to care more about just our family and our personal life, God, but to care about those who are lost, who need to come and receive from you, God. I want to give an invitation to receive Jesus Christ. And I want everybody to pray with me. I'm going to lead you through a prayer. If you're watching on live stream, I want you to pray this prayer with us. I want to lead you through a prayer. If you're in this place and you've never committed your life to the Lordship of Jesus, you've never truly said to God, God, you are my Lord. You are in charge. You are the King of my life. Guess what? You're still sitting on the throne of your own life. If that's you, you're still sitting on the throne, so to speak, of your own life. You're the one in charge of your life. And guess what? That's a dangerous place to be. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen next year. So if we're the only one responsible for our life, we're in a dangerous place. But I submit to you that if you surrender your life to Jesus, he's the King. He's perfect. He knows all things. And he will lead you and guide you. He'll direct you in every way. He'll bring true life to you. Joy, peace, satisfaction. Everything that you've been looking for in this world, everything you've been looking for in that bottle, everything that you've been looking for in that weed, everything that you've been looking for in that sex, he already has everything that you need. He has already fulfilled all of your needs and they're waiting at his table. If you're in this place today and you'd like to receive Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. Everybody else, pray this prayer with us. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm broken. I'm a sinner. I'm confused. I need help. I admit it. But I'm here today for you to save me. Save me. I believe that you sent your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins. And today I accept him as my Lord. Pick me up. Turn me around. Dust me off. Give me purpose. Give me clarity. Give me direction. Give me hope. I receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer today and you're saying, you know what? I want to make a decision today to receive Jesus. I'm praying this prayer. I prayed that prayer and I believe in my heart that today I'm making a change. If that's you, with every head bowed, eyes closed, just raise your hand right where you're standing. Just raise your hand. If you prayed that prayer today and you're saying, you know what? I'm making a decision today to give my life to Christ, to turn my back on this world, to walk away from the table of the devil and to step into the destiny that God has for you. Just raise your hand. All right. Thank God for those of you who are watching on live stream. We give God praise for you. We'll see you next time.